Hey, Ron, thanks for joining me today. I'm looking forward to our chat, our profiling of small businesses and how they are coping with this unprecedented impact to their business and our economy called the coronavirus. So, Ron, thanks so much for taking the time.
Well, I'm happy to be here and excited to talk with you guys.
So your business is a cleaning franchise brand, Two Maids and a Mop. And before we get into how your business is coping with these crazy times that we're living in, tell us about your business, how you founded it, and how you've grown it.
Sure. So I am the founder of Two Maids and a Mop. April 1, which is coming up on us here shortly, will be my 17-year anniversary.
Wow, congratulations.
Two Maids and a Mop. Yeah, thank you. Never saw this coming 17 years ago. But, you know, I did have a big dream, a real vision to create a small business into a nationwide brand. That was sort of a weird dream, probably for a 20-something at the time. But it was a real passion of mine. And so I wanted to start small. I really wanted it to be successful at the local level first. And I didn't know anything about the industry. I didn't know anything about even the trade. Like, literally cleaning a house was a foreign subject to me. And so I felt like I really needed to be on the ground. And I used the original location, which was based in Pensacola, Florida, to just test and create sort of an incubator of sorts where we would go in and we would try to, you know, determine the best way to get the best ROI for marketing, the best products to use for cleaning, the best tools for hiring, how to price, you know. And then, you know, I assumed that over time that I would be able to diagnose some weaknesses within our industry, and then my personal experience would allow me to figure out how to create strengths out of those. I knew that the original store was always just going to be that, the original store. It was never about just, you know, making money in Pensacola, Florida. It was about making money so that we could scale and grow. And that was the plan. You know, it took us a little bit longer than I had hoped, couple of years before we actually made a dollar, you know, in terms of profit. But, you know, it was also a really enlightening time of my life, because it really created all sorts of things that I'm even using today. You know, with this coronavirus fear that we have, a lot of things that I had to undergo as a self-financed, isolated entrepreneur during those early days, those instincts that I had to embrace and use to my advantage, I'm using to my advantage today, because it's a very similar fight. You know, there's a lot of things that that are somewhat out of our control, very much similar to those early days. So, you know, I'm looking back on those early days right now, and trying to use that not just to my own advantage, but to use it for our franchisees' as my advantage as well, because they've never been through a fight like this before. Yeah. This is all brand new to them.
Yeah, no. You started in what, 2003? So your business went through the financial crisis. So you remember that. You remember that well.
Well, probably the wrong word, but I remember it was a tough time,
scary
time. There's a lot of similarities between the two.
Right.
Probably the biggest difference is that their businesses weren't closing so quickly. There was a lot of failure and a lot of doom and gloom that we see even today, but it was a little different time. We actually grew during that time, believe it or not. We didn't know why at the time, but when we look back on it, we started looking at data, what we noticed was our demographic actually shifted. We went from this luxury style purchase that was sort of for just the very high net worth individuals to a service that was a necessity, because everyone was at work. We switched from the single income household to a dual income household almost overnight during that time frame.
Interesting.
And so in a really, really weird way, was a good thing for our business and brand.
So Ron, you have how many franchisees now? I read you're in 70 markets, so you're pretty well diversified across the country.
Yeah, we actually are in 83 markets. We have 83 franchises, I should say, and then we have two corporate stores. So we have 85 stores located across the country. When I say stores, they're not retail outlets or anything, but we do have meeting places where everyone, prior to coronavirus, at least met and talked about yesterday, talked about their upcoming day, talked about core values before they went out and they cleaned homes throughout the area. But yeah, we have 85 total stores open for business today.
Got it. How has the virus impacted your business? I mean, on the one hand, you could see people really having a focus on wanting their homes to be clean, homes and offices to be clean. On the other hand, it's people coming into their environment they may be uncomfortable with. How is it working for your business?
Well, it's like every business, it's having a significant impact. Right. Every day, you know, is a new battle for us. Every hour is a new battle for us, to be quite honest. And the news is, you know, so moving so fast that we're trying to do the best we can to stay on top of it. We have certainly seen cancellations, maybe that's the wrong word, suspensions from our recurring clients. Recurring clients is really the reason I started this business 17 years ago. I've always believed that a business with recurring revenue is a business that can, you can really have some serious value going forward.
Sure.
So that's always been our bread and butter. We feel like, we know that once we get back to normal, hopefully soon, that those clients that have suspended service will be back. So we're seeing some loss of that. On the other side, we're actually adding customers at this time as well. So it's a little bit of tug of war going on right now within the business model, because we are losing some of our residential customers that we've always sort of relied on. But we're adding not only more residential clients who want us to come in some cases every day to disinfect and sanitize their home, but we're also diversifying for one of the first times in 17 years into the commercial space, because so many businesses, whether it's apartment complexes that have common areas or churches, at one point we were even cleaning gyms. One of our franchisees in New Jersey just actually landed a deal with all the, I won't mention the name, but a local insurance company there that has 50 locations throughout the state of New Jersey. They're going into each of those offices right now and cleaning every one of them every single day for the foreseeable future.
Wow.
And so those are services that historically we have not served, but due to the sort of critical need of it right now, we are providing those services. So it's, again, kind of a tug of war because we are losing revenue, but we're gaining it at the same time.
Do you have a sense of whether the suspensions are because people don't want your teams in their home, or are people uncomfortable spending money because they're either worried about money or perhaps have lost jobs or had income cut back because of the virus?
Well, up to this point, most of it has been health related. So this is already flu season, right? So we've already had protocols in place prior to the coronavirus. And so basically, if one of our employees has the flu prior to this, they obviously did not work. If one of our customers, anyone in their family, has the flu, we don't serve them in that time. That's always been a sort of a standard protocol within our business model. And so the same thing applies to coronavirus. If any of those occur with our customers, that's a question we ask. We just aren't going in. And so that's one reason there's been some suspension, because there have been not just coronavirus, but there's been flu cases still going on with some of our customers. In other cases, just fear, you know, just fear and concern that, in you know, allowing a stranger, which is what we are, into their home right now may not be the wisest move. And so we do a lot to protect, and I'll talk about those things with you in a minute. But even with all those protective measures to prevent the spread of a viral disease, it's still a customer's decision. You know, they have to make in the best interest of their family whether or not we help or hurt the situation there. We believe we're helping because of all the preventive measures we're taking for our employees and staff, but we're certainly not going to force that service on to anyone at this moment.
Are people suspending the crews coming into their environment but continuing to pay what they would pay on a on a weekly basis to help small businesses?
That was a phenomenon that hit us without us even knowing it was coming. But yes, it's the craziest thing.
That's
and
nice.
It's something that we've met and talked and discussed to figure out what we do. So it was not a something we promoted. But when we started seeing that happen, I guess about a week and a half ago, then what we made a decision was when those customers offered that, again, business owner makes a decision whether they want to accept or not, but most are.
Yeah,
but in return, they are crediting those customers with future cleanings down the road, if not, not only crediting, but upgrading them to even more intensive cleaning packages once we're allowed back in the home. But yeah, we're seeing a certain percentage of our clients doing that across the country in every single market almost.
I think that's wonderful. I mean, that is one of the things, you know, Americans are generous people. And I've been hearing about situations where, you know, service personnel are not able to do what they would ordinarily do on a recurring basis, but people are still paying, which I think is amazing. What are you doing to protect your team members?
Yeah, well, if you don't mind, I'd love to just, I'll talk about that in just a second, but I have a great story that just came across my inbox this morning from one of our stores and one of our long-term clients that we've been cleaning for years, apparently, on an every week basis. We're still cleaning the person's home, but they feel so badly about the situation, not just for us, but for all small businesses across the country, that they actually offered to not only, you know, just be there for us and allow us to keep doing our job, but to also pay for other lost business other customers within that particular franchise. And they asked, what should we do? That's a tremendous gesture, but probably a little bit too far. But we certainly want to recognize that person and thank them. And, moving forward, we want to make sure we do some other things to really let that person know how much we value them and
That's
what they
great.
Even offer here. So that was just a one-off thing that happened earlier this morning, but it's still such an impressive gesture that I wanted to mention that.
Yeah, no, I
think as far as
yeah, I think, you know, people are concerned, and people who are able to want to make sure that the small businesses they love and rely on are still in business, you know, once we get through the virus. I think that's really impressive generosity, and good for them.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you asked about the preventive measures.
Yeah.
So, I mean, step one, obviously, if there's any type of viral disease of any sort, flu or this coronavirus, then no one's, you know, it's the same thing like now. No one's going to be working for us, but.
Right.
For everyone else that is healthy, the first thing we did right out of the gate, which we've always done even this, but everyone wears disposable gloves. Those are changed intermittently throughout a home, certainly in between homes. Everyone's advised to wear eye goggles. We did meet with some officials within the CDC, and the main thing they offer to us as a added protection that we don't normally do are those goggles.
Yep.
So we suggested to our franchisees across the country to go out and purchase those that can be used long-term, certainly during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, the biggest thing we've done is, I'll get to that in a minute, but we've also disinfected all of the cleaning kits. And so each mm-hmm. cleaning kit is just what you would imagine. We pick it up, you know, with our hand, it's like a cart, and we walk throughout a home with it, and that has opportunities for there to be bacteria and germs, you know, spread mm-hmm. within those. So all of the tools that we use within the kit itself is disinfected before and after a home. And then once it, you know, heads back to the office, we disinfect there as well. At the office, we are no longer meeting inside the office. We are almost treating it like a drive-through service. And so we have a manager or a franchisee is the only one allowed inside the business, the office itself, and then literally everyone's lines up in the morning, and we have each team, each crew, teams of two, has 15-minute windows where they drive up and they pick up all their supplies, they get their schedule for the day, the manager talks to them from a distance about what to expect, and and they go and they work. Now that slowed us down because we're having to do these 15-minute increments, one team after the other. Some of our stores have 10, 12, 14 crews going out on a daily basis. So that does slow the day down. So we're starting a little bit earlier, and it also extends the day. So we're going a little bit longer. In some cases, we are even cleaning on the weekend, which is not something that we have historically performed, but due to the demand from a lot of our businesses, they want us there 7 days a week, not just five. So we've also extended the amount of time. But as far as protective, that's probably the biggest, is we really just have not allowed our employees to congregate in one area. They also work with the same two people over and over again. So, you know, just again, it's a preventive measure. If for some reason there is a positive case in our network, and so far we have not had that, we will at least be able to isolate it to just that team versus the entire office.
You mentioned earlier in our conversation that some of the lessons you learned through 2008 and kind of starting out as an entrepreneur, as everyone does who's an entrepreneur, you know, lean and mean and scrappy, that some of those lessons are really helpful as you navigate this, you know, very uncertain time. I don't think anyone really knows what's going to happen day by day. What are some of those lessons, and how are you shoring up your business to make sure that you can keep the business as stable as it can possibly be as we navigate these waters?
Well, so one of the reasons it took me a couple of years to make money in Pensacola, Florida, is because we actually experienced multiple direct hit hurricanes during that ramp up period. So not only did I just need to learn how to be an entrepreneur and learn how to clean a house, I also had to deal with these natural disasters I'd never lived through before. And like this, it's very similar because these hurricanes come in and it's more localized. It's from a micro perspective instead of macro, but we definitely have shutdowns. You know, we weren't allowed to open for, based on the storm, 1 to 2 weeks after it landed. And even after that, we lost customers because their homes were, you know, destroyed or damaged. And we lost employees because there was just a real economic wave that, you know, created opportunity for others and created the opposite for others. And so it was a crazy time. And I still remember it. And it left almost sort of this, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome kind of thinking, you know, almost when I think about these kind of things, because it forced me to spring into action. You know, it forced me to make decisions that were really difficult. Like, when do we open? How do we serve customers when we don't actually have an office to work out of? How do we communicate with our employees while, you know, the area shut down for 2 weeks, like it was with one of the two storms? What do we do when we get back to normal? And then probably more important than anything else is, what do we do to protect ourselves if this happens again? And so that was really probably one of the biggest blessings in disguise, is it taught me, those hurricanes taught me, that I need to always be prepared for calamity. And people in really prosperous times give people like me, you know, a hard time, because, you know, people want to reinvest, they want to distribute income or whatever it might be. But I've always really felt like I needed to, one of my jobs is the CEO, is to protect us at all times. And I certainly never saw this coming. I'm not going to pretend that I'm some kind of soothsayer, but I've lived through enough natural disasters as an entrepreneur, even the 08, 09 depression, to know that these things do go in cycles, and that, you know, something bad's coming along with something very good coming as well. And so in this case, you know, like in those early days, I prepare, you know, and so we have capital that can help us navigate through this crisis, even though we will be impacted as a brand, and every franchisee will as well. From a brand perspective, we should be able to weather the storm. Primarily because we weathered those actual storms many years ago. Right.
Interesting. Wow. What do you think will change about your business as a result of this? I mean, I think every business will be different on the other side. It sounds like you've you know, had a crash course in preparing for disasters in your early days. But even still, I mean, there are things that we learn as a result of these extraordinary circumstances that will stick. Some things we've had to make do because of the situation that will relax once restrictions are removed. But help us understand how your business might be different on the other side of this.
From a positive angle, one thing that is encouraging, we've always been called housekeepers. You know, our actual acronym for all of our employees across the country is PHC. It stands for Professional House Cleaner, which kind of says what it sounds like. You know, we clean homes.
Right.
But during this crisis, we actually, and this just came from the government, federal government officials last week. Not only are we housekeepers, we are considered essential first responders.
Right. Interesting.
So we are being looked at in a very similar manner as a healthcare staff member has historically looked at, right? You know, today. I mean, the fact that we're considered essential businesses throughout all states currently, that may change, but currently we're considered essential both from the federal level and the state level in every state so far. It's a pretty incredible statement that what we do is bigger than just, you know, removing dust and organizing. You know, we do all those things, but we also serve a real need, a healthcare need, where we make homes cleaner, but also safer and healthier. Great. So to me, I think that's one thing that from a positive perspective will carry forward forever, that no longer will a homeowner look at our service as just removing dirt or dust. It's real healthcare benefits.
That's
one. You know, I also believe that we have to look at this as a real opportunity to learn from.
Mm-hmm.
And what we'll see, we don't know yet because it hasn't happened yet. But when life comes back to normal, what's going to happen to all of those customers who have said they're suspending service? Will they be back? So obviously, there'll be economic issues that they'll have to deal with locally in their own home. Can they afford the service or not?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, so we'll see how important we are and how strong our relationship is prior to this, once the switch is turned back on. And so from my perspective as the CEO, one of the things that I've challenged our franchisees, not just now, but even before this, it's super important more than ever before now to make sure that our customer relationships are actually that we actually have a relationship. Mm-hmm. There's an experience for the customer versus just providing a service. You know, this buzzword is customer experience. We hear about that all the time now, but it's true. There's a real difference between customer service and customer experience. But I think historically, our industry has looked at what we do as service. And so I've challenged all of our franchisees to use this as a real opportunity to improve things within their business that can help better the relationship with their customers so that when things like this occur, there's a reason for them to want to stick with us and come back to us. So we'll see what kind of impact, what kind of damage may or may not occur from this once the switch is turned back on. But my hope is that we've used the last several months to really improve those relationships across the country with all of our customers, and that we'll see value from that, benefits from that here soon.
Do you have a sense, Ron, of how long you think this will last? I mean, you know, we do consumer studies on this, and, you know, people think differently at different checkpoints based on information that they're hearing from governments or the media. What are you hearing and what are you planning for?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know if I have all the answers. I wish I did. You know, in every state sounds like it may even be a little bit different. I do think that we're in this same cycle for a few weeks, unfortunately. And if we look at other countries for guidance, it you know, China, for example, it looks like they were in this same cycle for almost a couple of months, you know. So there are going to be probably bigger ripple effects from this economically more than from a health perspective. Obviously, there's going to be loss of life. There's going to be illness. There's going to be those things that are really, really horrible. That will occur, I'm assuming, based on all the guidance we've received over a certain amount of time. Once the switch is turned back on and everything hopefully tries to return back to normal, you know, based on what we, you know, what happens from a federal level, we don't know what the economic implications may be. That could extend beyond months, you know, it could, yeah, it could be years. So that's probably the biggest thing we all are worried about right now is what happens to this really at one point thriving economy that we had for a dozen years after the 08-09 collapse.
Yep.
But you know, we're not, you know, from our perspective, what we do know is that our industry is vital. It's not just a service, like I said before, where we clean dirt, but we're actually providing healthier homes. We're also taking time back from people. People are going to, yep, have to go back to work. People, yep, are going to go back to work. And, yep, when they go back to work, you know, they're not going to want to clean the homes on the weekends because they're just going to be with, they want to be with their family. So I know that demand for our services will still be strong after this is all said and done. The question is just when does it return to normal, if not busier times?
That is the question of the minute. I think everyone wants the answer to that question. And, you know, we don't know. Hopefully there'll be some clarity soon. But Ron, what a pleasure chatting with you and learning about your business and the perspective and, you know, great attitude you have about forging ahead and learning from what is an extraordinary situation and putting your business in the best possible position to be successful and to continue your 17-year tradition of growth and excellence in service. Thank you. Thank you so much. And best of luck to you.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk about Two Maids and the Mop. And, you know, if I could leave one piece of helpful and positive advice is that, you know, my mentor is Warren Buffett, and I've followed his advice for a long time, not just because he's a multi-billionaire, but because I really believe in his business acumen and in his direction. And he wrote an article that really sticks with me and back in 08-09 during the economic just collapse, like we said earlier. And it was basically, he detailed all the financial crises. I know this is more health related, but financial crises that he had lived through. And, you know, 70 years, 80 years at the time that he'd been alive. And in every single one of them, it seemed like this one was different and that the world was changed and it would never be back to normal. In every single one of those, all the way back to the 29 collapse. But in every single one of those, we recovered. Mm-hmm. And not only recovered, but we're stronger than before. And so I'm going to use history as my guide here and say that as a country, history is going to repeat itself. And this one's not going to be any different. We'll recover and we'll be even stronger afterwards, after we're back on.
Well, Ron, if every entrepreneur has your attitude, I absolutely agree with you. And I think that's really what we need. We need to make sure that small businesses survive and thrive through this crisis and certainly remain vibrant on the other side of it. Again, thank you so much for your time, and we wish you all the best. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now.